Chapter 17. He showed up on, well, I guess it was the following Tuesday. The Tuesday after the Saturday the bum had shown up, and Amy and I had decided to elope. He was a tall, stoop-shouldered guy with a face that seemed to be all bone and yellowish, tightly drawn skin. He said his name was Dr. John Smith, and that he was just passing through. He was just looking around in this section, and he'd heard, he'd thought, perhaps, that the house and the practice might be on the market. It was around 9 o'clock in the morning. By rights, I should have been headed for the courthouse, but I wasn't knocking myself out these days to get downtown, and Dad had always laid himself out for any doctors that came around. I've thought about selling it, off and on, I said, but that's about as far as it's gone. I've never taken any steps in that direction. But come in anyway. Doctors are always welcome in this house. I sat him down in the office and brought out a box of cigars and got him some coffee. Then I sat down with him and tried to visit. I can't say that I liked him much. He kept staring at me out of his big yellow eyes like I was really some sort of curiosity, something to look at instead of to talk to. But, well, doctors get funny mannerisms. They live in an I'm the king world where everyone else is wrong but them. You're a general practitioner, Dr. Smith? I said. I wouldn't want to discourage you, but I'm afraid the general practice field is pretty well the monopoly here of long-established doctors. Now, I haven't thought too much about disposing of this place, but I might consider it. Now, I do think there's room for a good man in pediatrics or obstetrics. I let it hang there, and he blinked and came out of his trance. As a matter of fact, I am interested in those fields, Mr. Ford. I would, hesitate to call myself a specialist, but,
I think you might find an opening here, then, I said. What's been your experience in treating nephritis, doctor? Would you say that inoculation with measles has sufficiently proven itself as a curative agent to warrant the inherent danger?
Well, he crossed his legs. Yes and no.
I nodded seriously. You feel that there are two sides to the question?
Well, yes.
I see, I said. I'd never thought about it quite that way, but I can see that you're right.
That's your, specialty, Mr. Ford? Children's diseases?
I haven't any specialty, doctor, I laughed. I'm living proof of the adage about the shoemaker's son going barefooted. But I've always been interested in children, and I suppose the little I do know about medicine is confined to pediatrics.
I see. Well, as a matter of fact, most of my work has been in, geriatrics.
You should do well here, then, I said. We have a high percentage of elderly people in the population. Geriatrics, eh?
Well, as a matter of fact,
you know Max Jacobson on degenerative diseases? What do you think of his theorem as to the ratio between decelerated activity and progressive senility? I can understand the basic concept, of course, but my math isn't good enough to allow me to appreciate his formulae. Perhaps you'll explain them to me?
Well, it's pretty complicated.
I see. You feel, perhaps, that Jacobson's approach may be a trifle empirical? Well, I was inclined to that belief myself for a time, but I'm afraid it may have been because my own approach was too subjective. For instance, is the condition pathological? Is it psychopathological? Is it psychopathological psychosomatic? Yes, yes, yes. It can be one or two or all three, but in varying degrees, Doctor. Like it or not, we must contemplate an X factor. Now, to strike an equation, and you'll pardon me for oversimplifying, let's say that our cosine is... I went on smiling and talking, wishing that Max Jacobson was here to see him. From what I'd heard of Dr. Jacobson, he'd probably grab this guy by the seat of his pants and boot him out into the street. As a matter of fact, he interrupted me, rubbing a big bony hand across his forehead, I have a very bad headache. What do you do for headaches, Mr. Ford?
I never have them, I said.
Oh? I thought perhaps that studying so much, sitting up late nights when you can't, sleep.
I never have any trouble sleeping, I said.
You don't worry a lot? I mean that in a town such as this, where there is so much gossip, malicious gossip, you don't feel that people are talking about you? It doesn't, seem unbearable at times?
You mean, I said slowly, do I feel persecuted? Well, as a matter of fact, I do, Doctor. But I never worry about it. I can't say that it doesn't bother me, but...
Yes, yes, Mr. Ford? Well, whenever it gets too bad, I just step out and kill a few people. I frig them to death with a barbed wire cob I have. After that, I feel fine.
I'd been trying to place him, and finally it had come to me. It had been several years since I'd seen that big, ugly mug in one of the out-of-town papers, and the picture hadn't been so good a resemblance. But I remembered it now, and some of the story I'd read about him. He'd taken his degree at the University of Edinburgh at a time when we were admitting their graduates to practice. He'd killed half a dozen people before he picked up a jerkwater PhD and edged into psychiatry. Out on the West Coast, he'd worked himself into some staff job with the police, and then a big murder case had cropped up, and he'd gotten hog wild raw with the wrong suspects. People who had the money and influence to fight back. He hadn't lost his license, but he'd had to skip out fast. Now, well, I knew what he'd be doing now, what he'd have to be doing. Lunatics can't vote, so why should the legislature vote a lot of money for them?
As a matter of fact,
it was just beginning to soak in on him.
I think I'd better...
Stick around, I said. I'll show you that corn cob. Or maybe you can show me something from your collection. Those Japanese sex goods you used to flash around. What did you do with that rubber phallus you had? The one you squirted into that high school kid's face? Didn't you have time to pack it when you jumped the coast?
I'm, afraid you have me confused with...
As a matter of fact, I said, I do. But you don't have me confused. You wouldn't know how to begin. You wouldn't know shit from wild honey, so go back and sign your report that way. Sign it, shitbird. And you'd better add a footnote to the effect that the next son of a bitch they send out here is going to get kicked so hard, he'll be wearing his asshole for a collar. He backed out into the hall and toward the front door. The bones in his face wobbling and twitching under the tight yellow skin. I followed him, grinning. He stuck a hand out sideways and lifted his hat from the hall tree. He put it on backwards, and I laughed and took a quick step toward him. He almost fell out the door, and I picked up his briefcase and threw it into the yard. Take care of yourself, Doc, I said. Take good care of your keys. If you ever lose them, you won't be able to get out.
You'll be...
The bones were jerking and jumping. He'd got down the steps and his nerve was coming back.
If I ever get you up.
Me, Doc? But I sleep swell. I don't have headaches. I'm not worried a bit. The only thing that bothers me is that corn cob wearing out. He snatched up the briefcase and went loping down the walk. His neck stuck out like a buzzard's. I slammed the door and made more coffee. I cooked a big second breakfast and ate it all. You see, it didn't make a bit of difference. I hadn't lost a thing by telling him off. I'd thought they were closing in on me, and now I knew it. And they'd know that I knew it. But nothing was lost by that, and nothing else had changed. They could still only guess, suspect. They had no more to go on than they'd ever had. They still wouldn't have anything 2 weeks, well, 10 days from now. They'd have more suspicions. They'd feel surer than ever. But they wouldn't have any proof. They could only find the proof in me, in what I was. And I'd never show it to them. I finished the pot of coffee, smoked a cigar, and washed and wiped the dishes. I tossed some bread scraps into the yard for the sparrows and watered the sweet potato plant in the kitchen window. Then I got out the car and headed for town, and I was thinking how good it had been to talk, even if it had turned out to be phony, for a while. To talk. Really talk. For even a little while.